Now, the topic for the day will be salvation in the midst of uncertainty. And what just happened is another uncertainty that has just cropped up. But we bless God that He's in control and everything will go on very successfully. And our passage will be taken from the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 39 to 43. It looks a bit strange. When I was called upon to preach for this month, I didn't know what to preach about, but the Lord laid in my heart to pray about salvation. Because many of us think we are saved, excuse me to use the word, but maybe in one way or the other, we are not totally saved. And I pray that at the end of this sermon, we can assess ourselves to see if we are really saved or we are just attending church, reading the Bible, trying to do the will of God. Now, when we talk about salvation, it says that is God delivering us or rescuing us from the guilt, penalty, punishment, separation, elimination, wrath, and eternal death. God is delivering us from eternal death, from His wrath, through the relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. And when it comes to uncertainty, it is the state of being unsure of something, or when you are unsettled about something. And this is the period that most of us are not sure of what is going to happen next. Most of us travel back home during the vacation or the holidays, and we can't move from where we are now. We can't come back. Our plans, everything has been distorted because of the coronavirus. And there are so many uncertainties surrounding our movement. We may think that things are better in China now, but elsewhere around the world, people got stuck, people can't move, people can't work, rents are accumulating, you have to feed yourself, you have to feed your family. But despite all those things, we don't have to forget God's assignment in our life. We may think that we don't have the opportunity to meet anymore physically in the gospel church, because some of us, that is the only period that we have fellowship either with our friends or even read and listen to the word of God. We don't go to church. It's difficult to read the Bible or to listen to the word of God. But is that the best thing that God wants for us? We are lucky that we are meeting through Zoom, but it is not everybody that has this opportunity. But God already called us. He has chosen us. He said even before we were born, we were formed in our mother's womb. He has a plan for us. And it is not a plan of God to condemn us, to throw us into everlasting fire, to throw us into everlasting death. But the love that He has for us made Him not to allow us to fall away from His path, the direction, the plans that He has for us. But sometimes our actions and inactions take us away from God. But is that the best thing that we should do? Let's look at what is written in 1 John chapter 1, 12 and 13. He said that, but as many as received Him, to Him He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God wants us to be close unto Him so that we shall be saved. And the only condition for us to achieve that one is to believe in him. And this salvation is not something that we just come across during our Christian life. It is there from the beginning. It is there when God was creating the world. It is just that some people waited for it for long. Some people were able to receive it. If we look at the very common verse in the Bible, that is John 3:16. It reads that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Once you are saved, we believe that you have an eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. And before you can be saved, the Bible is telling us that you should just believe in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We confess him. And I believe that we all know of this verse and we all know what to do. But are we doing the right thing? That is what we're going to look at next. When we take Luke 23, verse 39 to 43, when this verse came to mind, I was doubting whether it has something to do with salvation. And I even confirmed with a friend. I confirmed with Perry and asked him whether he thinks what happened on the cross is a sign of salvation. Because I knew it, but I was a bit doubtful. Why should I preach about this one? But when I prayed over it, I saw so many deep things into it. And I pray that at the end of this verse, most of us will know our stand and see how best we can help others to get closer to God and to be saved. Now, it is about a story when Jesus Christ was on the cross. Two criminals were with him over there on the cross, one on the right and one on the left. And something transpired over there. When you look at the two criminals, I think in a way, both of them behave the way the Bible asks us to go. But one didn't go very well, and the other one went the right way. Because when you look critically, the two of them acted out of the word of the Bible. The first one said, one of the criminals who hung there held insult at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." And somewhere you could realize that this guy knows very well that Jesus is the Messiah. He has confessed that Jesus is the Messiah. And he knew very well that Jesus could save himself and save them too at that particular moment. But the problem with him was how he put it across. The arrogance is still in him, or was in him at that particular moment where he has the opportunity to act and be saved. Maybe he's trying to please the people who are crucifying Jesus and think they may have mercy on him by joining them to insult our Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe he thought that there were two people, Jesus and Barnabas, and they have to release Barnabas and continue with Jesus. Maybe he thought that when he does like that, they will bring him down from the cross. I mean, the first criminal, they may bring him from the cross and say, "Oh, you are part of us. You calm down. Let him die alone." Maybe that is the thought that he had. He thought that he'll be saved through condemning Jesus and siding with the soldiers and the people who were crucifying him. But he was wrong. He was totally wrong. And something happened from the second criminal. And I was thinking that maybe if the first criminal was the one to speak, things would have been better. When the guy came, he knew what they have done. He knew that they deserve the punishment that they are having, they are receiving. And the Bible says, but the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, their sentence is to die by the cross. But this second guy knew that they deserve what they are going through. But our Lord Jesus Christ didn't deserve what he was going through. And it looks like he has heard of Christ, he has read the Bible, but he couldn't turn from his wrongdoings, his criminal activities or whatsoever. And he has to find himself in this situation. But something touched him. He came back to himself and trying to confess the Lord, even at the last hour, the moments that he is on the cross and he was going to die. Two things can happen here. Maybe he can join the other friend and hurl insults on Jesus, our Lord, and think that, oh, maybe when the two of them are on the same side, they will rescue them and say, oh, you can calm down and Jesus alone should die. And even in the midst of death, when he knows that people don't want to hear anything about Jesus at that moment, they don't want to hear that, oh, people are confessing him that is this, is that, he opened up and against all odds, he confessed our Lord Jesus Christ at that very moment by rebuking the other person, telling him that they deserve what they are going through. But our Lord Jesus Christ didn't do anything. In this difficult moment, in this uncertain moment, the coronavirus moment, many of us face friends who try to downplay our God or our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God didn't save the world. Why this? Why that? And some of us get to the point that we can't even defend ourselves and we have to join the other people against our Lord Jesus Christ. And we start thinking that, oh, it's true. If God really loves us, why should he let this thing happen? My brothers and sisters, everything happens for a reason. This second criminal prayed for his salvation. And before you get salvation or before you are saved, you have to confess our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what he did on the cross. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. He has confessed that the death that Jesus Christ is dying, he has never, ever deserved it. But he didn't know that God has planned for his son to be killed or to be sacrificed for our sins. But he just understands that this supposed not to be the way things go. And he confessed at that particular moment that indeed he is the Lord. The first person went through the principle of asking. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. But is it everything that we ask God that we get, or the way we ask, is that the best way? Is it in the will of God? The first criminal really asked Jesus to save himself and save them also, which I think is biblical, asking. But did he ask the right way? No. And that is what many of us have to learn. We ask so many things and we think that God is there to answer any things that we ask. But do we always ask the right way? Now, This second criminal went on and said, I think the best thing that one can ask in his life is what he did in the next verse. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That means this criminal is aware that Jesus is not going to die on the cross and remain in death forever. He believes that Jesus is going to rise up, get to his kingdom, and sit at the right hand of the Father. And his request is gentle. His request is something that we all Christians have to pray for, ask for, that Jesus should remember us when he gets into his kingdom. He told us that he's going back and prepare a place for us. I think this guy heard of it somewhere, and even if he didn't act up according to it, he had a chance to right his wrongs. And he took hold of that chance. He acted very well. And Jesus promised him something that we are all fighting for. Jesus told him that, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. My brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what we have done. It doesn't matter what we are doing. God wants us to just confess that indeed Christ is the Lord. He is the Savior, he is the Messiah. He didn't want much from us. Some of us, I don't know how many people have this thought in their childhood that, oh, when somebody kills you, you die, you go to heaven. So I'll be sinning, I'll be enjoying the world. And when I'm tired, I will just allow somebody to kill me and I'll go to heaven. I used to have that thought in mind. That when somebody kills you, all your sins go to that person and you go to see Christ, you go to paradise. But my brothers and sisters, that is a childish thought. If we still have this thought in mind, please let's quickly change. Because Jesus, the guy at the last hour, that means salvation comes at any time that you confess to Lord. There are some procedures that you have to go through. But at this particular moment, this guy's case is so exceptional that our Lord Jesus Christ has to grant his request to him. My brothers and sisters, if we ask Christ today to grant that request to us, are we ready? Do we think we deserve it? And I want to tell you that he has paid the price already. It is not that we deserve it, but it is a gift unto us. Salvation is a gift unto us. And some of us don't just want to take hold of so many gifts that we're given. We think that, oh, let me continue enjoying the pleasures of the world. When the time comes, I'll just change. And we are in a moment of uncertainties. Those people, excuse me to say, who passed away during this corona period, they never planned that they would be leaving the world at that particular time. If they were to know that, oh, I'll die by this disease, they might have started preparing themselves. But we have the opportunity to always be ready. If you are saved already, continue to be praying to God, continue to be following his will. Along the line, we will see if you are saved, do you lost your salvation or you keep it forever? And Jesus Christ is making an altar call. I am not saying it. But the Bible said that Jesus made an altar call to call the people to come to him. And when you look at the book of Matthew, chapter 11, 27 to 30, he gave us the assurance that all things have been handed to him by the Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And the call came, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What do we want? We need rest. You are working 24/7. You are working for something. But the Bible tells us in Matthew 6, 25 downwards that we should not be anxious of all those things. We should not just fight a lost battle. But we should only seek his kingdom and the righteousness of the kingdom. And any other thing shall be added unto it. It is not that you have to forget about working and you just continue to seek God's kingdom. No. When whatever you are doing, if you are righteous and everything you are doing is in line with God's word, blessing is what follows. You can be doing something little, but you'll be so much blessed that you sit down and think and say, "Ah, do I even deserve all these things?" Somebody can be fighting, can be struggling without the kingdom, without God's hand in it. It is useless. So our Lord Jesus Christ says we should just come to him. All the burden that we have, they are too heavy for us. And he is ever ready to give us rest. And there is another assurance: take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. It is not physical rest that you find, but your soul shall be rested. That is eternal life. Even after this world, you continue to live wherever our Lord Jesus Christ is. And I believe that that second criminal is resting. His soul is resting with our Lord Jesus Christ at this moment. Because Jesus does not promise something and will never realize it. He is a God that gives promises and stands by the promise. And we pray that when he has promised us, it shall surely come to pass. Now, let's quickly look at what Jesus himself said or teaches us about salvation. There are so many issues about salvation in the Bible, but some of us want to hear from Jesus' own mouth what he has taught about salvation. And the first thing that he said is, one must come to him, which is the altar call that we have just seen there. And you can confirm it from the book of John 10:9. He says, "What? I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures." Many of us are struggling to find green pastures. We go extra mile fighting and forgetting about our Lord Jesus Christ. And when this period of uncertainty comes, how many of us are able to go to work? How many of us are able to go to school for this number of time? That means that we are just fighting a lost battle. The Lord is there. He has given us everything that we need. And he says, even the birds in the sky are not working, but they are eating. How much more we human beings? To be frank with you, some of us don't even know how we are surviving through this period. It is just by grace that many people are surviving. I'm very sure some people might have even thought about suicide. But is that the answer? The answer is with God. Come to Him. Once you are saved, everything shall be given unto you. And Peter confirmed this in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. He said what? And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And the only name under this earth, under the heavens, that has been given unto us is our Lord Jesus Christ. God said it in John 3:16. He has sacrificed His only begotten Son for our salvation. And when we go back to the cross, the second criminal just seeks salvation through this right way. He knew that only Jesus can save him. He might have seen so many people in the crowd. He could have called on somebody that, oh, I'm sorry, please come and save me. But he knew that even if those people should come and bring him down from the cross, that is not the end. He was fighting for everlasting salvation, that he is ready to die with Christ on the cross and live with him forever. Maybe the other guy thought that, oh, if I condemned Jesus, people will come and save me. And even if they brought him down from the cross at that very moment, what happens after death? Then Jesus also said that we should have faith in him. And that faith should carry substance. And there are two people that we can compare here, the parable of sower, about the faith and the substance of faith. The parable says that when the farmer went out, he scattered the seed, some fell on good land, some fell on among rocks, in thorns and whatsoever. And it is only the one that falls on fertile ground that will bear fruit. And once we hear the word, let it not just die. Let us not be the thorns or the rocks or whatsoever. But let's put the word to action. If you don't have faith or whatsoever, we pray that through the word, our faith shall increase, because it is by faith that we shall be saved. Excuse me to say, you and I have never seen Jesus physically before. We just read about him. We read about the kingdom, but we believe. That is faith. And as we are fighting for salvation, that it is only our Lord Jesus Christ who can save us, that means the faith is backed by substance. The next thing that Jesus said is we should repent. We should transform ourselves totally from sins. We should confess our sins and make sure that we sin no more. And some of us think that, oh, if I'm saved, I don't have the chance to sin again. So let me continue sinning, and at the end of everything, I'll be saved, or I'll give my life to Christ. My brothers and sisters, we don't have the time. We are in the time of uncertainties. We don't know what is happening tomorrow. We don't know what is happening next. So this is the only time that we have. Let's strive hard and give ourselves to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's repent. And there is nobody, or we've not read anywhere in the Bible, that somebody has confessed his sin to Christ and Christ has told the person that, oh, your sins are too much, I can't forgive you. No. Even the encounter with the woman that was accused of prostitution or whatsoever, when people brought her to Jesus Christ, he says what? Nobody has condemned you. I have not also condemned you. Go and sin no more. And it is a procedure, it is a process. It is difficult to just stop sinning at once. There are some things that you may be doing, even our actions and inactions are sin before God. But give yourself to Christ, give your life to Christ, and go through it gradually. Reduce it until you become, it comes to the minimum. And I think this period has been a very great time for us. When you sit alone by yourself, when you are in your room, you are pondering over your life. Many of us don't have the chance to go out again, excuse me to say, go clubbing, go womanizing and all those things. You are in your room, you are in your house, you are in your family. It is the time to study the word of God. It is the time to assess yourself and see if I am on the right path. When we take the comparison between the rich man who asked Jesus Christ, what should he do to be saved, and Zacchaeus, there are two different people who have two different agenda, but want the same outcome. The guy wanted to be saved. And when Jesus told him, go and do this deed, he said that he has done all those things. That means that even in the church, we can be doing almost everything that God wants us to do. But are we saved? That is the question. When Jesus asked him to go and sell his inheritance and give the money to the poor and follow him, we saw what happened. He was not ready to do all those things. He just wants an upfront salvation. Jesus should just say, okay, you are saved. If you don't follow Jesus, how will you believe in him? Salvation is believing in Christ, confessing him, and you refuse to follow him. Is it because what he's going to sell and give the money to the poor and follow Jesus? Sometimes we are so attached to our selves, our riches, our inheritance, that we can't understand what is happening. Now, when it comes to Zacchaeus, he just heard about Jesus Christ. He heard the very good things about him, and he has done everything possible. He has crossed all the barriers. We understand that he's so short that even when the crowd is coming, nobody can see him, especially those in the middle. But because he knew what he wanted, he climbed the tree and was trying to be realized. Realized by Jesus Christ. And what happened later, we all know. Jesus knew that somebody is fighting for salvation. Somebody is fighting to be saved. And what happened there was that Jesus Christ knew of him and called him that, oh, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I'm going to dine in your house. How many of us seek Jesus into our house to come and dine with us? How many of us seek Jesus to come down to us? And people around were murmuring that he is going to dine with a sinner. But my brothers and sisters, once you are saved, do you need salvation again? If we think we are no more sinning or we are saved, Jesus has come for those who need salvation, those who have not been saved, those sinners. If I am a sinner, Jesus has come for me. If you are a sinner, Jesus has come for you. And if Jesus has saved you, that doesn't mean that we should see others as sinners and don't allow Jesus to go to them. I believe those who make that comment that time, there might be followers of Christ among them. My previous preaching, I used the example of the brother of the prodigal son. Was he happy that his brother has come back to seek salvation? No, he was angry with the father. Are we that brother, or we are the prodigal son ourselves? When we are on the journey and we realize that we have fallen, God has given us the opportunity to go back and seek for salvation. Jesus said that Zacchaeus also is a son of Abraham. God has promised Abraham that he shall save all his descendants. And you and I are descendants of Abraham. Jesus will not overlook you and say, oh, you are doing this, that, that. And it is like Zacchaeus have been following Jesus and his teaching. I don't know if he has heard of the previous rich man who couldn't give away all his riches and follow Jesus Christ. But this time, Jesus didn't ask Zacchaeus to do that. But he opted himself that he is going to sell his property and give half to the poor. And he has confessed over there that if I have cheated on some people, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And I'm not saying that tax collectors are sinners or they are cheats or whatever. But he said that if he has done such things, he is ready to pay back in fourfold. Jesus didn't ask him, but he knew that maybe these are some of the things that he has to do to be saved. Maybe he heard the parable of the other rich man, or somebody has told him about it, or somebody has taken him through training about how to become a Christian or how to follow Jesus, and he has done exactly that. My brothers and sisters, are we Zacchaeus or we are the other rich man? And Jesus entreats us to be baptized. Once you confess your sins, you have to be baptized to inherit the kingdom. And we can see that in the book of Mark 16:16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. The second part does not talk about baptism. Once you don't believe, you don't even need baptism to be saved. You have to believe, you have to confess, you have to repent. And that baptism also should be in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That baptism should be baptism through immersion. But in the current Christianity, some people have different types of baptism and they stand by it, and I can't judge them. You and I cannot judge the baptism that they are doing is the right or wrong, but only God in heaven. And you have to confess your sins yourself, and you have to confess God before you go through the baptism and you'll be saved. And Jesus knew that all these things comes with a price. He said that after all these things, we have to endure. We have to endure, because when you are saved, that is the time that temptations come your way. That is the time that the devil will try to tempt you. Who are you, my brother and sister? Our Lord Jesus Christ went fasting for 40 days. And his first encounter was with the devil, with Satan, and he was tempted. Please don't think that you are so spiritual that you cannot be tempted. My brother, it's a lie. Some of us put ourselves on the path of sinning and thinking that, oh, grace is with us, we cannot sin. My brother, we have to flee away from sins. Don't create the environment for yourself to fall once you are saved. And he said, brothers will deliver up brothers to death. And a father, his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, something that is happening. And you will be hated by all on account of my name. Many people are facing persecution because of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But do we have to give up? The criminal on the cross show us that even in death, in the hands of your enemies, you still have to confess our Lord Jesus Christ. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. When we take a look at the book of Matthew 24:24, it even says that even some of the elect shall be deceived. My brothers and sisters, let's stand on the right ground so that we shall not be deceived. Let's endure whatever is happening during this moment. Salvation is for us. Victory is at the end. Coronavirus will go, and we shall get back to our normal life. Victory shall forever be ours. Now the question comes, I'm behind time. Let me run off quickly. The question comes that, can salvation be lost? It is a serious debate. Some people think, oh, you can lose your salvation. When you look at Matthew 24:24, the book says that even the elect shall be deceived. And the elect, are they those people who are already saved? They shall be deceived. And when you look, you read through Hebrews 6, it has given us warning. Once you are saved, what you should not do, what you should not even attempt to do. But there are people who will fall on the way by all means. But there's something very special in 1 John 2:19. He said, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out in order that it might be shown that they all are not with us. It is not everybody who are with us or who are with us that are saved. It is not every Christian that are saved. Once you have not confessed our Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, my brothers and sisters, you can be going to church, you can be doing the will of God. And when the time comes, as Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he said that what? On that day, many people who said, in your name have we cast demons. In your name have you raised the dead. In your name have we performed miracles. But he will say to them, I don't know you. Away from me, you evildoer. That means Christ himself knows that there are people in the church, there are Christians who will be struggling to do his will. But are they doing it genuinely? Are we doing it genuinely? This is an opportunity for us. They think that they are with us, but actually they are not with us. When the time comes, they will take themselves away. That doesn't mean that the person has been saved and the salvation has been taken away. That means the person is with us, but he is not saved. And the salvation, once you have it, grace and God's forgiveness is added. You will not go back. if you are truly saved, you will not go back, you will not fall. So it is an opportunity for us to stick to the salvation. And once you are saved, it is a call for you unto eternal life. When Jesus called Lazarus from the tomb, he called him and he came back to life. That is why Christ calls us and saves us, and we come back to life, which is the eternal life. John 3:16 said, you will not perish, but you have eternal life. And when we look at Romans 8:30, and whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, this he also glorified. Once the Lord Jesus Christ glorifies you, there is no way that you fall back. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you are saved, your body, your soul, your spirit is preserved. And it takes grace. Once you are saved, you are forever saved because of God's grace and his forgiveness. Our God is a forgiving God. His grace is always with us. My time is up, but quickly I'll spend 5 minutes. Please bear with me. So now that we know whether we are saved or not, and we are convinced that we are saved, what assignments do we have? Are we satisfied with our own salvation and look others fall, or we have to hold the hand of others? Jesus Christ made the great commission, the greatest call, that we should lead a brother to Christ or to salvation. And Matthew 28 says that, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authorities have been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. So this is the greatest commission that we have to follow as Christians. We don't have to see our brothers and sisters fall. We have to bring them under the umbrella of Christianity. We have to make sure that they are also saved. And we have to encourage, especially those who fall along the way, that is not the end. They should look up at the second criminal. He has committed so much atrocity that once he realized that he is going astray, he came back. God never denied him. Jesus gave him the salvation. And we have to always pray and intercede for people and the church. We have people around us. Foreigners are here. We are not all saved. But when we always give excuse that you are not allowed to preach to people here, and nobody block us from preaching to our own foreign friends. I think after this sermon, I have to apologize to my wife, because when we came to China, she kept on asking if there is prisons anywhere that we go to the prisons and speak or share the word with the people, visit them. My brothers and sisters, it is not all those people in the prison that are condemned. Some people find themselves there illegally, wrongly. They were wrongly accused. But what do we do? I think it is time we visit them in the hospitals, in the prisons. We give them hope that even as they are there, there are people outside praying for them, that God is always with them. We should encourage them. We should help them to transform their lives, that when they come back from the prison, they should be totally transformed people. And the answer I gave my wife then was that, oh, they don't allow people to visit prisons and those things, which I've realized that is something that I have done wrongly. I should have listened to him, and maybe from the 4 years that she is here, we will have won so many souls for Christ. My brothers and sisters, don't look at the underprivileged as they are condemned. Jesus has come for them. He has come for all of us. And I pray that we shall heed to our salvation, and those of us who are not yet saved, we shall strive hard to be saved and be on the path of salvation. And because of time, I will just ask those people who are in touch with this sermon and want to give their life to Christ, or if you have now realized that you are not really saved, you can contact me. You can contact any of the elders, Bra Ben, Bra Rob, Bra Darrell, Bra Steven, Sister Tess, any of the elders or the deacons, Bra Perry, Bra Brother James, Bra Michael, or anybody that you can talk to, or your small group leaders. You talk to them that you are ready to give your life to Christ, and they shall lead you through what you should do. And we should take advantage of the discipleship class that we have in SICF. It is a walk with Christ. You can talk to Sister Tess about that. They will get you a mentor who will help you through your walk with Christ and to make sure that you are saved. And when you find yourself on the cross, be the second criminal and not the first one. We thank God for this sermon. We pray that he touches our hearts, that we should identify ourselves with him and with him alone, that he shall take us through the process to purify us and to make us to enjoy the eternal life, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.